The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against him. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The psalmist for today proclaims the marvelous memory of God. God remembers all the things that have happened since the time of creation to the end of the world. God remembers all things. He remembers the stories particularly that began with Abraham, as God promised him a land of his own, a place where he could be. And then God promised him children, and Isaac and Ishmael were born. And God promised that he would continue that covenant through Isaac, as Isaac's wife, Rebekah, bore Jacob and Esau. And then Jacob goes and finds, not of his own accord, two wives, and winds up with four. And Jacob has 12 sons, and heaven only knows how many daughters, because nobody counted them. But God remembers all the stories. People remember things too, but sometimes they remember things only in part, or not accurately at all, or they use something from their memory and adjust it to what they want to say. You all know how that works. We've all experienced it, and we experience it today in the readings. Now, there are a few odd things about Joseph that we didn't hear in today's reading, or last week's reading, because we went to the Feast of the Transfiguration instead. But Joseph has two dreams. In the first dream, he dreams that his 11 older brothers bow down before him. Well, remember that Esau was not the one who received the birthright. It was the second twin, Jacob, by Jacob's machination. Now it is to be the youngest of 12 sons who is ruler over the other 11. And then he has a second dream. And in this dream, it's not only the 11, but also his father and his mother who are bowing down to Joseph. Now, if that's not enough to make 11 brothers angry, I don't know what is. And so when Joseph comes trekking across the countryside, the brothers see him coming because he has this fancy coat. And they say, let's get rid of this dreamer. Let's kill him. Let's send the coat back to his dad and say, oh, sorry, your youngest son was eaten by wild animals and we just couldn't get there in time. But we bought his coat back. But one of the younger brothers says, ooh, this is not a good idea. We shouldn't kill our brother. Let's dump him in a pit. And they dump him in a pit. And Reuben says, I'm going to come back later and pull him out. So they sit down to eat, and there are a group of Ishmaelites. You remember Ishmael, the other son, the brother of Isaac, who is now the head of his own lineage. And it's some of the Ishmaelites who come and they pull Joseph out of the pit and take him off and sell him in Egypt. And they pay the brothers 20 pieces of silver. Now, that's what happens when brothers are fed up with each other and there is no shalom. No peaceably speaking among the brothers. They fight with one another. Now, Paul is one of those guys that has a memory, but he remembers only what he wants to remember in some cases, and in some cases he shifts the memory to fit his need. You know that marvelous thing about you don't have to send up into heaven to get it, or down to Sheol to bring it up. That comes from Jeremiah the prophet. And Jeremiah the prophet is saying those words about the law that Paul is saying is worthless. You see, Jeremiah tells the people of Israel, the law that God wants you to follow is not far away. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. It's in your heart. It's on your lips. That's the law that Jeremiah is talking about. But Paul kind of forgets that for a moment and says, no, it's the word of righteousness that is not far away, that's in your heart and on your lips. And the word of the law is of no use to anybody. Nobody can possibly follow the word of the law. And yet in Philippians, Paul has this marvelous little diatribe. It doesn't last for very long. He says, I'm an Israelite of all Israel. Both of my parents were Jewish. I was circumcised on the eighth day, according to the law, and according to the law, I am blameless. So Paul, though he is blameless according to the law, sets aside the law and says that it's of no use. And here's the one that you need to remember. He sets it aside not for himself, but for the others who are there, who think they might need to follow the law in order to earn their way into heaven. The people of God do not have to earn their way into heaven. It is the gift of God in Jesus the Christ that gives us that life. We need to receive that gift. And what happens when we do? Then we become a people of God. And the thing that sparks the people of God is the hope they have in Jesus Christ the Lord. Peter, in the boat with the other apostles, rowing against the wind, looks up and they see Jesus walking on the water. And Jesus says, "Don't worry." And here the Greek is, "I am," not "it is I," but "I am," the name for God. And Peter says, "If you are who you say you are, let me walk on the water with you." And Jesus says, "Get out of the boat and come on." And Peter climbs out of the boat and starts walking on the water. And here again, the words are a little peculiar. Jesus pulls Peter out of the water and says, "You of double mind. You who believe and yet are not sure. You who hope and yet despair. You who have two minds on the matter of who Jesus is and what he has done for you." And Jesus pulls Peter out of the water. And the next thing we know is they climb into the boat. Have you noticed that? They're out here on the sea. The boat is over here. Jesus pulls Peter out of the water and they climb into the boat. I don't know how far they were from the boat, but it says that Peter at least made it a little ways before he doubted. But how did they get to the boat? And we don't know. But here's what I'd like to think. I'd like to think that Peter's hope returned. That Peter's belief, now that he was out of the depths, came back to him. And the two walked hand in hand to the boat. It's either that or Jesus threw Peter over his shoulder and carried him back to the boat. I like to believe that Peter found his hope again. Now you and I live in the midst of Peter's experience. We have hope. We have great hope in Jesus Christ our Lord. And yet sometimes we have this random thought. You especially in this congregation are living in the midst of that hope that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You do it every day of your life, but especially right now as you are waiting for a new rector. That hope is alive in your heart. Don't let it be drowned by doubt. God will provide a new rector for this congregation. Don't go sinking into the depths thinking, oh, we're not getting anywhere. You're exactly where you ought to be. So let that hope live in you. And then, even more important, let that hope spread out from you. Because that is your task in life, to know that hope, to hold that hope, and then to let that hope reach out to others and bring them to the knowledge and love of Jesus Christ our Lord. How can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear if you don't tell them? Amen.